Book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, can be found on page 161 of your New Testament section of your pew Bible. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Happy Sunday, Saints. I say that because surely you are among the most committed and steadfast members of this congregation. I mean, this must be the all-star team, sticking out that 90-degree weather in August. But I hope that you have all found some time to enjoy the beach or basking in the sun, the S-U-N. But I'm grateful to be with you this morning to bask in the sun, S-O-N. I want to give us a minute or two to turn our eyes on him. I started doing this kind of meditation to begin my devotion times, and I want to invite you to get comfortable and look, really look at the cross. Just gaze your eyes upon the cross for just a moment. I love that the cross is made up of two pieces. One that is horizontal, that looks like arms outstretched. And it reminds us of the way God calls us into fellowship with other people. Just think for a moment about that. The people that God has called us into community with. Our church family here at APC. And the brothers and sisters we have in places like Farmington, Maine, Guatemala, Malawi. Isn't that just remarkable? The other piece of the cross is vertical, and that looks like hands raised in worship. And it reminds us that we are also called to commune with God one-on-one. This is our own personal relationship, our own unique story with Jesus. Just take a moment to reflect on that as well. If you ever have a moment where you question God's love for you, all you have to do is look to the cross. We're so grateful for Christ. He's so faithful, and he never changes. Amen. So unlike Christ, the seasons we live in do change. Summer has flown by and is coming to an end. Fall is approaching. I officially bought my husband his first pumpkin spice coffee last week, so it's official. It's about time to go back to school. In 1996, there was this genius commercial. Let's see if you remember it.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's that time of year again.
They're going back. School time at Staples. Over 7,000 supplies at guaranteed low prices.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Staples. Yeah, we've got that.
Can anyone relate to the dad? How about the kids? Well, as a kid, I loved back to school season. It was like the day I waited for all summer long when my mom would take my brothers and I to this store called Cost Cutters. Anyone remember Cost Cutters in Hamilton? And I would organize and color code and trapper keeper to my heart's content. And I'm still that way. I love a new beginning. I love a fresh start, a clean slate. Nothing fills me with more joy than to start filling out the pages of a brand new calendar. My calendar is beginning to fill up with meetings and kickoffs and events, and I am really excited to launch a new year. But as my pages began filling up with scribbles, I had to stop myself and refocus a bit. It is my prayer for myself that this year is not just filled up with as many things as I can possibly fit, but the best God has for me. Not just in my own life, but in my marriage, in my ministry, in my friendships, all of my life. And this is my prayer for you all as well. I think that we get there by continuously drawing closer and closer to the heart of God. By making things like prayer and Sabbath, reading and studying God's word a priority. And I think that those aspects of our faith are pretty self-explanatory. But there has been this one particular thing for me that has been so transformational, but perhaps a little bit more abstract. Very early on in my faith journey, praise and worship became my love language. Many of you have heard parts of my story through the years, and I actually did not grow up in the church, but I did grow up surrounded by music. My dad was a musician. He played with a lot of country bands. He was a cowboy. He was so talented. He could do just about anything, real life of the party type, always dancing and playing pranks, usually at my expense, and just having the time of his life. We have so many fun memories of my dad, but his life was troubled by the culture that he was a part of. And when I was 14, my dad passed away, suddenly from a brain aneurysm. It was and still is the worst, most painful thing I've ever been through. But it wasn't until then, when I lost my earthly father, that I got a real glimpse of my heavenly father. Around that same time, I had been taking voice lessons from a woman named Pat White. Anybody been here long enough to remember Pat White? Wow, yeah, awesome. But she was the music director here at the time, and she invited me to sing in a church service, and I quickly declined because I did not really go to church. But she persisted, and I eventually agreed. And I walked into Allentown Presbyterian Church in on a Sunday morning in the fall of 2000, just a few months after losing my dad. And the second I stepped foot inside this sanctuary, I was greeted by Pat Gagnon, who actually looks remarkably like my dad. And I experienced the most profound presence of God, and it felt like I was home. Like I belonged here all along. I think my earring's making funny noises. I'm going to take them off. Sorry. More interestingly, the song that I sang that morning was called My Father's Heart, which was pretty poor timing. Or so I thought. Because the words of that song gave me an entirely new identity as a child of God. Though my dad had failed me big time, beginning to know who I really was, that shifted things. It gave me this hope and faith that things could be different with my Heavenly Father. And I believe that when we know who we are and whose we are, it changes everything. That was 19 years ago, and God has never failed me yet. He has taken me on quite an adventure, transformed my life, made me a better daughter, sister, friend, wife. He has led me to serve on the youth staff at Crossroads, to stand up here and share my heart with you this morning, and to worship him. Whether I am leading worship on stage or alone in my living room, that is when I am most myself. I come alive in worship because I'm doing the thing that I was born to do. I've been put on this earth to sing of who God is. We were all made for it, to worship our Father in heaven. Like I said earlier, praise and worship is often misunderstood. I already know what you're thinking. What if I can't sing? Well, I'm here to tell you that praise and worship actually has very little to do with musical talent. Some of the people who are the most beautiful worshipers are not singers, but their heart to praise God blows me away. It doesn't have to be particularly impressive. It doesn't have to be a certain style. As uniquely as he created each one of us are also the ways we have to praise him. From traditional hymns on the organ to contemporary songs with electric guitar riffs, everything in between. They're all meaningful, they're all intentional. God receives it all as worship. There's something for everyone, which is just another reminder of how vast and inclusive God's love and desire for us to praise and worship him really is. Now, we use those two words together a lot, praise and worship, and people always ask, what's the difference? And if you've hung out at Crossroads long enough, you've probably heard this explanation, but I think it's worth reviewing, and you can help me, interactive. So here we go. So if we were going to praise someone to say, good job, what might we do? Yes, clap our hands, wave our hands, maybe a good old high five, right? That's like praise. Praise is our outward expression to God. And this often manifests itself through music. And sometimes people raise their hands in the air. And if you're not sure why the people around you were doing that this morning, it's just another way we have to praise God. Like in the same way that some people can't watch a football game without hoo, 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 hoo. It's the same thing. Sometimes we cannot sing these words of adoration and contain ourselves. It's a response, reaching back to the God who first reached down to us. Praise is our outward expression of love for God. Now, if I was going to ask you to worship something, what might you do? Look at it. The only pop culture reference I could think of was Wayne's World. We're not worthy, right? They're bowing down, right? So we bow. We yield. We surrender. We use the term worship for times like this, and that is accurate, but it's only the beginning. When we praise God through music, when we sing out and we express ourselves through song, this is really important, because the more we practice praising God, the more worship becomes a natural extension of who we are. Worship is how our love for God manifests itself in our everyday lives. As I've talked to people over the years, it seems that there are two pretty significant barriers preventing us from praising and worshiping the way that we were designed. We feel uncomfortable and we feel unworthy. I love, love, love 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is, fill in the blank, freedom, yeah. And I just want to remind us all this morning that God is worthy of our most authentic self. So I pray, whether you clap and dance around with joy or fall to your knees in adoration or anything in between, it is our greatest privilege to respond to him in some way. He makes originals, and he wants original worship from each of us. And maybe you don't know what that looks like yet for you, but I would just encourage you to press in. Just try to let go of yourself a bit more and let God move in you. And I know this sounds crazy, but it's okay if worship is uncomfortable. We want church to be a place of warmth and comfort, but I want to suggest that maybe if we were a little more uncomfortable, we might recognize how much we need Jesus. We might be more open to his presence and transformation. We want God to break into our lives, but we simultaneously fail to yield our own comfort, so we see very little of him. If we really want to see God, it requires us setting aside our control and yielding to his. Carrie Underwood had a song called "Jesus Take the Wheel." Remember that? That's what our heart's cry should be. We don't like to do that because it's uncomfortable. But that means we're letting go. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, even from discomfort. And we also feel unworthy. I can't tell you how many times I've held back in worship because I didn't think what I had to bring was good enough, or because I just wasn't feeling it that day. Well, if I'm waiting on a feeling before I worship, then I'm worshiping the feeling and not God at all. It's about the posture of our hearts. We don't need to come to him with fear or striving or anything other than authenticity and honesty. He already knows us completely. He made us that way. So he invites us to come into his presence real and vulnerable, because he showed us how worthy we are by sending his son, by giving us access to himself. That's what our scripture reminded us this morning as well. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Because God has shown us how he feels about us through his amazing grace and his extravagant love, now we get to respond by showing him how worthy he is. And verse 2 goes on to say, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and his perfect will. Don't worry about what the rest of the world is doing. Don't even worry about the person next to you is doing. You have been saved and set apart, called to live your whole life to the glory of God. That is true and proper worship. So praise is our outward expression of love for God, and worship is how our love for God manifests itself in our everyday lives. There is so much power in praise and in worship. I have been leading worship a long time, and singing even longer than that. And you've probably put two and two together that I got my talent from my dad, who was really and truly a musical genius. But my mom, she cannot carry a tune in a bucket. Bless her heart, but whoo! Sometimes we'll be in the car and she'll be like, did I just sing on key? And I'm like, no, I'm so sorry, you didn't. But most of you also know that this past year, she went through a battle with cancer. And while it was a really challenging season for our family, the way she practiced praising God through it, the way her trust and love for God manifested itself in her everyday life, that was real worship. Mom, it turns out you're a worship leader. I know you've been Jenna's mom to most people for most of your life, but I've never been more proud to be Sandy's daughter. And I just want to thank you for showing me, the youth pastor, worship leader, preacher, what praise and worship actually looks like. And I want to share with all of you who have been praying that God has healed my mom completely. He is so good. See, that's a normal response. When the doctor told us her cancer was gone, I was a mess. I'm like snot and just everywhere. And she just sat there and said, I wasn't worried. I knew God was with me. Jeez. Like most moms, she has two more tattoos than I do, which is zero. But the one on her foot says, walk by faith. And wow, did you ever live that out? So how do we live that out? Maybe we get a tattoo. Just kidding. When we get our calendars out, let's ask ourselves, how can my practice, my family's practice of praise on a Sunday morning, translate into everyday all of life worship? Well, I would encourage you to plan to be a part of this community on a Sunday morning. Fill in 8:30 or 11 a.m. on your calendar now. And not just for that 1 hour, there are Sunday school classes for all ages, and not just for students, for adults as well. Fill that hour in between 9:45 and 10:45. I would encourage you to fill in midweek opportunities for your kids and for your youth, the amazing children's ministry, the awesome youth group, for your family into your planner as well. And I know what you're thinking, my page is beginning to fill up already. And that might be true, but a filling up with opportunities to draw closer to the heart of God, to develop a relationship with Christ, to learn the voice and the move of the Holy Spirit, I think that's a win. If that's what our calendars look like, I think we're praising and worshiping God the way he has invited us to. That's how we live out that scripture, that we would not be conformed by the expectations the world has for us, for our families or our kids, but that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds. But it takes intentionality. It takes planning. It takes sacrifice. And in the scope of what Jesus gave to us, it pales in comparison. He paid it all with his life. And now we get to do that in return. Let's pray. God, we're so grateful. Thank you for this access that we have to you and to your Son and to your Spirit, not just on a Sunday morning, God, but always and in all ways, no matter where we are, God, on our journey of faith. Make us bold to come before you, real and vulnerable, no matter how uncomfortable or unworthy we feel. Let this practice of praise be cultivated into our everyday. God, we pray that our life song would sing to you. Amen.